He mentions the mystery of the catching away in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In Ephesians chapter 1, he talks about the mystery of his will. And that's the last one that we covered, and it had to do with the fact that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. And I mentioned to you that I personally believe that that has to do with the culmination of things at the end time, when those on earth and those in heaven are made one, and the kingdom of God basically is completed. And there's a new heaven and a new earth. Now today, I want to talk to you about a mystery that we find in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. In verse 22. Now this is a passage that generally we read and study when we talk about the husband-wife relationship. And that's certainly in the passage. But the concluding verse will tell us what the passage is really and most importantly about. In verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Now you keep seeing these references to the Lord's relationship with the church and how it compares with man's relationship with his wife. Verse 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." So there was a great mystery about Christ and the church. And I believe that mystery has to do with what is said there in verse 30, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." You see, I believe that the mystery of that Paul is talking about here, the mystery of our relationship, of Christ and the church relationship, is that never in prophecy was it made known that there would be a relationship such as ours with Jesus Christ. Because in the Old Testament, God's chosen people obviously were the nation Israel. Now, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't think we've looked at this verse, these verses since we started this study. Probably should have. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, Paul says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." In other words, there was some stuff kept secret because had Satan known about it, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. I believe that pertains particularly to the mystery of the gospel that we'll be talking about next week. But it also has to do with all of these truths that are mysteries that are regarding the church, the body of Christ. And had Satan known all that was going to be accomplished through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he would never have put him to death. And so Paul says it was kept a mystery. Now, I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. The relationship of the church with Christ is said to be a mystery. Now, that tells me something. Christ had a very particular, unique, and wonderful relationship with the nation Israel. The Bible talks about a future time when there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be the bridegroom, and there's going to be the bride. Most people today believe that the church, the body of Christ, is the bride of Christ. I don't believe that. There are those that call themselves, and this is not to be derogatory, because I talked with a man just recently that was part of this group, but it was what's called the Baptist bride. They believe that the Baptists are the bride of Christ, and they'll be united with him, and everybody else will have a lesser position. And if you don't believe that, go Google Baptist bride, and you'll see what I'm talking about. A whole bunch of people that believe that. But the Bible is pretty clear, not pretty clear, real clear, about the bride of Jesus Christ, or the bride of Christ. And it has to do with the fact that God Almighty, in the Old Testament, is said to have a relationship with Israel like that of a husband and wife. Go back with me, if you will. Kind of getting ahead of my verses here, but anyway. Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. In Jeremiah chapter 3, in verse 6, "The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, After she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, and she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also." Well, who is it that gets a divorce? A husband and wife. So then the Lord said that he was giving Israel a bill of divorce. Look, if you will, over to the book of Hosea. Hosea. Look in Hosea chapter 2. Look in verse 18, Hosea 2, verse 18. "And in the day will I make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of the earth, of heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. I'll break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I'll betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies." Now, go back earlier in the chapter there in Hosea, and notice in verse 7, Hosea 2, verse 7, "And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then shall she say, I will go and return to my first husband." Remember what we read over there in Jeremiah? What was Israel doing? They were going, playing the part of a harlot. They were being united with false religion, idolatry, and so forth. He said, the nation, "I will say, I will go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now." Verse 16, "And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, thou shalt call me Ishi, and that means my husband, and shall call me no more Baali, And that has to do with not being owned, that kind of thing. Now, I want you to turn over to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19. You see, all of that fits together so well when you consider the new covenant. The new covenant, Hebrews 8 says, is with the house of Israel. He said, I'll put my laws in your heart. I'll be a God to you. You'll be a people unto me. I'll remember your sins no more. Peter said in Acts 3:19, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God is going to make a new covenant. This new covenant will be with the nation Israel. I believe the bride of Christ has to do exclusively with the nation Israel. In Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19, look there in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. John said, when beholding Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Apostle Paul never one time referred to Jesus Christ as a lamb. The lamb had to do with Israel. He says there, in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and thy brethren, and have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. So there is the picture there of this multitude and the marriage of the Lamb back up there in verse 7. Now, look, if you will, over in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. In verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Well, then it would certainly sound like to me that the bride is there, that holy city, New Jerusalem. We know the Old Testament references referred to the relationship of God and Israel as a husband and wife. He gave them a writing of divorcement. Hosea said, I'm going to go back to that husband. They will go back. They will do so under the new covenant. Now, go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 14, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn, as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. It would appear that Christ is speaking of himself. Look in Mark chapter 2. In Mark 2. In Mark 2, verse 19. And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Look over in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, we read there about the marriage of the Lamb. And in John 3, in verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. That's John speaking of himself. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. So in the passage, it would appear that John the Baptist is the friend of the bridegroom. He said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. Then there is the bridegroom, which would be Jesus Christ. Hold on here. We'll come back. Look at Matthew 25. Matthew 25. I'm not spending a lot of time on these verses because I want to get back to our relationship with Christ as the body of Christ. But I did want you to see that there is confusion today, I think, when people mix the two. In Matthew 25, verse 1, Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. If you remember back to Matthew chapter 7, he said, In that day there will be those which will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and done many marvelous works? And he said, Depart from thee, I never knew you. Verse 13, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So verse 13 removes all speculation about what this parable is about or what this story is about here in Matthew 25. It's about the coming of the Son of Man. And it has to do with the Son of Man coming as the bridegroom for his bride. Back in John chapter 3 again. In John 3 verse 28. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is all about Christ's position as the husband to the nation Israel. No mention here concerning the church, the body of Christ. We read over there in Revelation chapter 19. The passage that we read there will be fulfilled. It's the second coming of Christ. And one of the events that's in that second coming, obviously, is the marriage of the Lamb. There's something different about the body of Christ. Number one, when the Lord returns, He's going to return to the earth. When we talked about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The moment twinkling eye at the last trump. And he talks about how we're going to be caught up into the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there is a earthly people, there is a heavenly. And the church, the body of Christ, according to what Paul says, are the heavenly people. Now, there are several passages that Paul writes about in relation to the church, the body of Christ, that I think sometimes people misunderstand because it would appear that he's saying that, like Ephesians 5, people say, see, that proves right there, all that proves that we are the bride of Christ. Well, think about this. Christ is spoken of, and the body of Christ is spoken of as one new man. We are in Christ. The verses that Paul uses about our relationship with Him are many times the verses that we use about the relationship of husband and wife. Like he said there in Ephesians 5. He said, so when two are joined together, they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Well, we know literally, physically, you don't become one flesh. I mean, I can stand here and look out there and see couples, and a lot of y'all don't look alike. There's a difference. You see, you have to separate spiritual from physical. You may be one spiritually, and I personally believe that happens in a sense of mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. It amazes Mary and I how many times we are thinking exactly, it's almost scary, how at times we're thinking exactly the same thing at exactly the same moment. And we'll almost come out of our mouth simultaneously. That has to do with becoming one. But we're still very much two in the physical realm. Now, look, if you will, over in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. This is one of the passages that and I was reading on the internet about this doctrine of the bride being the body of Christ, and these verses are the ones that were used. And so I wanted to just address these to show you what is being spoken of here. In Romans chapter 7, verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth, but if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, now notice, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, that in no way says that we are the bride of Christ. He is talking about a relationship of being under the law. He said, you're become dead to the law. How? By the body of Christ, that you should be married to another. Not future tense. I mean, come on, folks. If it's talking about that marriage supper or the marriage over there in Revelation, then we're not one with Christ yet. He said that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead. The whole point there is, we became dead to the law by the body of Christ when Christ died for our sins. He took them there into the grave. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. And the law hath no more dominion over us. Look, if you will, over in let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 11. And I want to go back to, and then we'll be going back to Ephesians chapter 5. I'll get there in a minute. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. Then it had already taken place, hadn't it? That I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled thee through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. In other words, it was through the gospel that we were joined to Christ, and he uses the simile there of a marriage relationship. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want us to look at this unique relationship. I tell you what, before we get to chapter 5, flip back to chapter 1. By the way, the phrase bride of Christ is not used in your Bible. The marriage is, the lamb is, the bride is, but the bride of Christ is not used in the Bible. Matter of fact, Paul talks about the body. Is not that particular phrase is not put together that way either. But he says in Ephesians 1:22, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Now notice, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So there is no disputing the fact that we are the body of Christ. That body is going to be united, I believe, with the bride of Christ at one point. Spiritually speaking, we're already one with Christ. Go back to Ephesians 5 and notice. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. God hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name. He is the head of the church, that is Christ. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. We are subject unto Christ because he is our head. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. He loved Israel. He had a unique relationship with them. But they fell away. They turned to idolatry. And so he said, I'm going to take the kingdom from them and give it to the little flock. That's not the church. Verse 27, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Folks, we are so closely reunited with the Lord Jesus Christ that for him to deny us, he would literally have to cut us away from where we are in Christ, and that's not going to happen. Because God did all the cutting on his son that he's going to do at Calvary. And because of that, when we're saved by one Spirit, we are baptized into what? The body of Christ. And every person that is saved, that has trusted Christ as their Savior, regardless of where they attend church or what tag they might put on themselves, are part of that body and are one with Christ, and all will leave this earth at the same time and be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Look over in down in verse 13. In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So we are accepted, we are redeemed, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Not only that, look in chapter 2, verse 1. You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Remember what we read back there in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. We are spiritually seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Reason? That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You see, God had always promised the nation Israel salvation. There was the promises of the Old Testament. There was the call to repentance, starting in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was the call to repentance in the early part of the book of Acts. But Israel did not repent, and as a nation, they failed. But Paul said, God hath not cast away His people which He foreknew. He said, I'm also an Israelite. And what God did was He saved the Apostle Paul. And I believe with the salvation of the Apostle Paul began a completely new and different entity called the church, the body of Christ. And that body was formed according to what the Bible says, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. You see, Paul goes on in the chapter there and says, remember that in time past, you being Gentiles, you were without hope. You were without Christ. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So, when you get over to Ephesians chapter 5, as Paul nears the conclusion of this chapter, of this book, and he says, for this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. It was a mystery because God's relationship with Israel was never a mystery. It was always outlined from Genesis 12 all the way through the book of Malachi. It was expounded on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus Christ Himself said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As He sent out 12, He said, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When Peter stood up and preached in Acts 2, he said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. You get the idea after reading and believing that it was all about Israel. And it was. Because through Israel, the world would be evangelized and would come to Christ, but they fail. And so God raised up the Apostle Paul, saved Paul, started a new entity called the Church, the Body of Christ. And Paul says we're ambassadors for Christ and we're to carry out the ministry of reconciliation during this present legal age. I believe that one day he's going to catch us away. He'll resume his program with the nation Israel, and all of those events that we read about in Revelation will eventually take place, and he'll be united again with his people, Israel. We are members of his body. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, then you're not. And you need to do so. You need to rely totally upon what Christ did at Calvary, believing he died for your sins, buried and rose again the third day. And the very moment you do that, God Almighty will place you into the body of Christ, receive Christ as your Savior, and you'll be part of that body. You can't be part of Israel. I was reading the other day where such and such converted to Judaism. Well, bad news is, Israel, in the eyes of God, does not exist today, the Israel of God. There's a nation over there called Israel. But there's coming a time when God is going to reshape all of that and will be, once again, their God and he will be their people. Not today. The only hope for mankind today is to be saved and placed in the body of Christ. Would you stand me for prayer? Our Father, we thank you this morning for your word and for the opportunity to fellowship around it. We pray that you would help us to see and understand some of these great mysteries that relate to what you're doing today in this present dispensation of grace. If there's anybody listening that's never been saved, I pray this to be the day that they would trust in you and you alone for salvation. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you for today. We're dismissed.